Our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he taught them, saying, "Happy are the people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of God is theirs. Happy are the people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are the people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are the people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are the people who have pure hearts, for they will seek God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous and because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. More traditional translation says, "Blessed are those," or "happy are those." And yet these things that we read, these Beatitudes as they were, are not the things that we generally think of when we think of happiness or being blessed. Those who are hopeless, those who grieve, those who are humble, those who work for peace, all of these are things that are not necessarily prized in our world and our culture, and yet these are the marks of what it means to be a saint, of what it means to be a child of God. For today, for this All Saints Day, we're going to focus especially on "Blessed are those who grieve," or "who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Let's just be honest. It's been a tough year. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody just think this has been the best year ever? We're finally rounding the corner towards the holiday season. We're heading towards 2021. And we're looking towards the new year with hope. We hope that next year will be better. We hope the pandemic will end. We hope that political tensions will die down. We hope that we can be reconciled with those who have hurt us and with those whom we have hurt. And we hope that the final sun of 2020 will not set on our anger and our pain. This year has been a tough year. This year has also been a year that has been filled with death, more than we generally see over many years. When 3,000 innocent lives were taken on September 11th, 2001, our entire nation stopped and grieved. We mourned together. We honored the lives of those who were lost. And yet this year, when over a million innocent people around the globe, including nearly 230,000 in our own nation, have died from an invisible enemy, we have instead turned against each other. We've manipulated statistics to reinforce our own political agendas. In 2001, lives lost were people with real faces and real lives and real families, friends, real hopes and real dreams. But in 2020, the lives that have been lost have in many ways become little more than numbers on a graph or a screen. We've seen so much death and destruction and pain this year, not only from COVID, but from many things in our world. The violence is beyond what we have seen in recent times. And for all those who have died, unfortunately, it seems that we have become numb to the tragedy. Yet regardless of the cause of death, they have become part of the great multitude. And we must remember this day that they are real mothers and real fathers and real sons and real daughters and grandchildren who are all now facing their first Thanksgiving and Christmas without someone whom they dearly love. It's likely that you in this room or someone watching online are among those or know someone who is among those preparing for a most difficult holiday season because of the loss we have experienced. In some ways, this is true every year. As the lights go up and everybody moves towards joy and Christmas carols and everything else, there are always those who celebrate a blue Christmas, who have one more empty seat at the table. That is one reason we celebrate All Saints Day at this time of the year. But this year is particularly more poignant, as there are so many more families with an empty seat at their table. Let us consider, even if you don't know anyone who has died in this past year, let us consider for a moment just how integrally connected we are with one another. In order to be born, each and every one of us needed two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, 16 second-great-grandparents, 32 third-great-grandparents, 64 fourth-great-grandparents, 128 fifth-great-grandparents, 256 sixth-great-grandparents, 512 seventh-great-grandparents, 1,024 eighth-great-grandparents, and 2,048 ninth-great-grandparents. That's just 12 generations of your life. Which means that for you to be here in this place or watching this service today, in just the last 12 generations, 4,094 ancestors have been a part of your story. Just in the last 400 years. Whether you know anything about them or not, the candles that are lit on the side of the altar represent that great cloud of witnesses. They represent those ancestors who have gone before us, who are circling around heaven's throne, singing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is our God." Think for a moment about all of those names, those people, some of whom are nameless to us, many of whom are faceless to us, and yet 4,094 ancestors for each one of us over the last 400 years. How many struggles, how many battles, how many difficulties, how much sadness, how much happiness, how many love stories, how many expressions of hope for their future, how many prayers for each and every one of you did your ancestors go through for you to exist in this moment? These are all real stories and real people and real lives, even if no one remembers them but God alone. All Saints Day reminds us of the ways that our lives are so intricately woven together with all those who have gone before us and with all those alive today. It reminds us of our shared humanity, our shared mortality, and our shared Creator, who fashioned each one of us out of the dust in His own image. And for as unique and different as we all are, we share together a single divine breath of life. There's a clergy Facebook page that I follow that has been sharing the death tolls periodically from COVID. And someone challenged that choice and asked, why are they sharing? Because their mission as a Facebook group is to challenge and equip and inspire, particularly clergy. And they wrote a response that I think applies not only to those who have died from COVID, but also why it's important to honor the death and the lives of those who have gone before for any cause. They write this. The first is our challenge. These are not just statistics of people who have died. Each one was someone's beloved child or sibling or parent or grandparent or friend. The dead include children and teenagers and doctors and nurses and emergency personnel and teachers and athletes and, of course, many frail and elderly people whose health was already compromised. But each one of these persons, regardless of their cause of death, was of sacred worth. Each one had a name and a story. Their lives were cut short by this deadly disease, and we never want to forget that. And so we share these numbers because we are not willing to be numbed by the immensity of our grief. We want to join with those that knew them and loved them. We want to join with their faith communities across this nation and around the world in a time of lament as we grieve with those who grieve for individuals and loved ones, for those whose hearts are broken on a grand scale. We must remember those who are lost and how precious they are to each of us. Our second task, they say, is to equip. It's easy to grow weary with all of the protocols, with all of the social distancing and the masks and all the different things that we're being asked to do to care for one another. And it's easy to want to just put this all behind us. But the sharing of these numbers, the reminder of death in our world, is a means of equipping us to continue to be more vigilant, to do whatever we can to protect and look out for our neighbors above ourselves. It is to equip us by helping us make wise choices and to equip congregations to exercise safe actions as we gather together. And finally, they say their mission is to inspire, and this is written from a 75-year-old retired clergy person. He says, "I'm a 75-year-old retired pastor, and the numbers remind me of my own vulnerability and my mortality and our shared mortality. When I see the growing numbers, I realize how quickly I or someone I know or love could be in that number. And I'm reminded never to take a single day for granted. If seeing these numbers can inspire us to live more deeply and more fully, realizing that we are all at risk, then the death numbers inspire us." The truth is, this isn't just about COVID numbers. This is about the reality of our shared mortality that should inspire us to live more deeply and fully in love for one another. We're the only species alive on this planet that is consciously aware of our mortality, that actually thinks about dying, that plans for death, that prepares for that inevitable reality. Think about how traumatic and paralyzing that awareness can be. I know one colleague who each year at Ash Wednesday uses it as an opportunity to update her own funeral service as a way of thinking about her own mortality and remembering how small we are in the grand scheme of things, and yet despite that seeming insignificance, how loved we are by the one who created us all. And yet that awareness can be overwhelming. We don't like to think about death. We hide it away as much as possible. We do everything we can not to think about it and not to talk about it. I think this year more than ever, maybe some are regretting those choices. There are maybe some who look back, not able now to visit their loved ones in nursing homes or in the hospital or to be at their bedside, and wishing that they had spent more time making those visits and those choices and those calls. There are many who wish we had looked death in the face sooner and took advantage of every holy moment we had with the life of a person we loved before they went on to eternity. This is the day we honor the saints who have gone before us, the day we remember that great cloud of witnesses What is All Saints Day? Here's how an article in the Methodist Communication Report describes it. On All Saints Day, we remember those famous or obscure who are part of the communion of saints. We tell their stories. Alongside people like Paul in the New Testament, or Augustine, or Martin Luther, or John and Charles Wesley, we also tell stories of the grandmother who took us to church every Sunday. We remember the pastor who prayed with us at the hospital, or the neighbor who changed the oil in the family car. We give thanks for the youth leader who told us that Jesus loved us, and we give thanks for the kindergarten Sunday school teacher who showered us with that love, and the woman in the church who brought us groceries when we were out of work. We retell all of these stories, and they ground us in our history, and these memories teach us how God has provided for us throughout the generations, through the generosity and the sacrifice of those who have come before. The stories of these saints encourage us to live our lives more deeply, more fully in the love of Christ. And so let us not allow those who have died to become a faceless mass. Let us faithfully carry on their legacies. Today we read from the Beatitudes of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In this reading, we learn what it means to have the mind and the heart of Christ. Dominican Sister Teresa Fox reminds us how these Beatitudes are exemplified in the lives of all the saints whom we celebrate today. She writes that this great multitude also includes people unknown to us, the innocent victims of war and violence, and faithful parents who raise their children to live authentic lives and live to ripe old ages, and those who died of disease before living a full life, and so many more. The list goes on. But no matter what, this great multitude are those who took the Beatitudes seriously. One way or another, those who have gone before us, those who now sit around heaven's throne, lived these characteristics in their lives. Some were meek and slow to anger and quick to forgive. Others hungered for righteousness and marched and wrote letters to seek change in unjust situations. Others were peacemakers in their families. Many were persecuted for the sake of justice, and the attitudes and the way they lived during their lives may not have made the headlines, but nevertheless, they made a difference in somebody's life. God knew their mercy and their peacefulness. God called them to their reward in the fullness of heaven. And that is why we come this day. Because when we come to the end of our lives, when we look back, we want to be able to say with the saints that have gone before us that we lived lives that were truly blessed, that were truly happy, not because of our possessions or our accomplishments, but because our lives were filled with the fruit of the Spirit, because we embodied the character of Christ that we see in these teachings, and because we know that we are called the children of God. And so let us hear one more time what it means, according to Jesus, to be blessed and to look back over our lives in this moment and ask ourselves, could these things be said of us if we were to die today? If so, let us give thanks, and if not, to whatever degree God is convicting us, let us seek the Holy Spirit as he helps us to transform and to change and to become more like Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A friend of mine posted a song this week called Memories, a version of it that was done by the One Voice children's choir. I've shared the link to it on our church's Facebook page so that you can see that video. I believe that it offers a perfect call for us today. The final verse goes like this. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, when I felt that all the hatred was too powerful to stop. Now my heart feels like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for you so that you know I'll never drop. We've all had those times when we've never felt so lost. Maybe it came at a time when a loved one died. Maybe it's today, right now, wherever you are, overwhelmed by the suffering and the hatred in the world around us that seems too powerful to stop. And yet, Jesus moves on from the Beatitudes and continues by saying these words, "You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel, but instead on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. And so in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." As we light the candles today for those who have died in this past year among our own congregation, may their legacy inspire us. As we watch them join the light of the great cloud of witnesses, may we remember, and may their light spark the ember of light within our own hearts and souls, that we may take up the torches that they have passed on to us and light up the darkness wherever we may go. May all who mourn this day find comfort, and may all who hunger and thirst be filled. We light candles in honor of those in our congregation who have died. These are the names that have been sent to me over the past few weeks. One candle in the end, if there are any others that have not been named. We remember Sue Barnett. Puddin' Caps. Richard Farrell. Louise Douglas Knox. Allison Parker. Calvin Matthews. Brandon Morton Oxford. And Sandy Toby. We also light a candle in honor of all those who have died from COVID-19 and from other illnesses and tragedies in our world. And one for all who have lost their lives as a result of violence and injustice. Finally, are there any other names that have not been lifted of loved ones who you have lost this year that we honor with our final light? Steve Helms and Linda Hilton, Bob Marshall and Richard Irving. And if you're watching online, particularly on Facebook, and would like to leave a name in the comments, we'll honor those as well, for all those on our hearts, both spoken and unspoken, that we may have missed. We light this final candle in their honor. Let us pray together. O Lord, we give you thanks for all the saints who have worshiped you, whether in brush arbors or cathedrals, weathered wooden churches or crumbling cement meeting houses, wherever your name was lifted and adored. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise, manicured hands and hands stained with grease or soil, strong hands and those gnarled with age, holy hands used as wave offerings across the land. We thank you, God, for hardworking saints, whether hard-hatted or steel-booted, head ragged or aproned, blue-collared or three-piece suited. They all left their mark on the earth for you and for us and for our children to come. And so thank you, O Lord, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, O God, and may we learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. Amen. Take the next few moments to listen and to honor these saints who have gone before in your hearts as we remember their legacy.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Close to the ones here today.
Close to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the dreams
bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back you.
There's a time that I remember, when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever, and everything would stay the same.
Now my heart feel like December, when somebody say your name.
Cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day. Yeah.
Everybody hurts sometimes. Everybody hurts someday. Yeah. But everything will be alright. Go with your voice and say,
hey. Here's to the ones that we got.
Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the dreams
bring back all the memories of everything we've been through.
Close to the ones here today.
Close to the ones that we lost on the way.
Cause the dreams bring back all the memories that.
Memories bring back, memories bring back you.
There's a time that I remember, when I never felt so lost,
when I felt that all the hatred was too powerful to stop.
Now my heart feels like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark.
I'll carry these torches for you,
that you know I'll never drop.
Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, hey, hey.
But everything will be alright.
Go and raise your voice and say,
hey.